We're doing Brachot, we're up to Chavdal Lamed. Tan Rabbanan. Yayishin betalito, we're up to the last of the medium-sized lines. Tan Rabbanan, Yayishin betalito, ve'no yechol lotzi et rosho mipnei tzina. Person was lying, and as they did in those days, he had a cover, or in this case his talis, and he was wearing nothing underneath. Now, how's he to read Shema? If he's uncovered and he's all under the blanket, so then he and his erva are in the same rishus, there's nothing separating between them, what should he do? So ideally, he should lift his head out from under the blanket. But if it's cold, and he can't do that, chotetz betalito al tzavaro, v'korek yachma. So he could hold the garment down to his neck, and then there's a separation between his head and his erva, his revealed parts, and then he could reach ma. V'yesh umrim alibo. And that's how we rule halachically, that he has to have a separation between his heart and his erva. V'tanakam ha'ri libo ro'et erva. What does the first opinion do with the fact that his heart and his erva are equally revealed? K'asava libo ro'et erva mutal. Tanakama holds that that's okay, and we don't rule that way. Where is this relevant? This is relevant when a person's wearing a robe. Sometimes, especially women, have robes that cover everything, but there's really nothing separating the heart and the person's private parts. So, us men, very often, I mean, a person wears undergarments, so that separates. But if a person isn't wearing undergarments, if a person just has a robe, like the Arab robes, the way Chazal used to go, so if you have one of those closed robes and there's nothing separating, so then you have a problem. We wear pants, we wear underwear. So that separates. That's like a belt that separates. But if a person were to wear a robe without a belt, if a person were to wear one of those nightgowns that go all the way down to the floor, but there's really nothing separating between their heart and their erva, so then they'd have to hug the garment to their stomach at some point, whenever they'd want to make a bracha or say Kriya Shema, to separate between their heart and their erva. I don't think so, not yet. If he was going in a place where it's filthy, you have sewage running there, it's a filthy, disgusting place, stinky place. So Rav Yochanan holds, you put your hand over your mouth and then you read Shema. Okay, obviously we don't rule that way. Rav Chista says to Rav Huna, I swear if I heard it from Rav Yochanan with his own mouth, I wouldn't listen to him. Rav Yochanan, no such thing. If you're in a place that's not fit for reading Shema, putting your hand over your mouth isn't going to help anything. Igad Amri, others say it went differently. Rabbi Bar Bachana quoted Rav Yeshua ben Levi as having said, that if you're walking through a stinky place, so just put your hand over your mouth and read Shema. And to that, Rav Chista responded, I swear if I heard it from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's own mouth, I wouldn't listen to him. Did Rav Huna really quote such a thing? Rav Huna said, a Talmud Chacham may not stand in a filthy place, because the Talmud Chacham is always thinking Torah, and you're not allowed to even think Torah in a filthy place. So how come here he says you're not allowed to stand and think Torah? Here he says, if you're walking through a filthy place, you could talk Torah, just cover your mouth. So the Gemara wants to say, yeah, if you're standing in a filthy place, you may not even think Torah. But if you're just passing through a filthy place, if you're walking through a filthy place, so then if you cover your mouth, it's enough and you could talk Torah because you don't have permanence with the filth. Did Rav Yochanan really say such a thing? Rav Yochanan is quoted as having said, you're allowed to think Torah anywhere other than a bathroom and a bathhouse, because a bathhouse in their days was filthy. You'd have the same hot water, 500 people a day coming into that bathhouse with all their sweat and the steam, and then the walls were covered with mold and grime and gook and everyone's sweating. It was the most filthy, stinky place you could think of. It was as bad as a bathroom, if not worse.
Why were they, that's where they would get clean in there?
They didn't have their private showers, that's where they got clean, yeah.
Well, they'd switch the waters every so often, but still, the walls were always, there was always a lot of steam there. So it was a filthy, stinky place. Look at our mikvahs. You go to our mikvahs, they have to clean the walls and repaint the walls, and there's so much mold there that every 2-3 months they have to redo the cleaning of the mikvah. A serious cleaning, you know, the walls of the waters of the mikvah themselves, they clean that a few times a week, literally scrubbing the walls. They weren't able to do it. They didn't have the caustic cleansers we had, and they didn't have the capacity to scrub like we do. And they didn't have the amount of water we had. They changed the mikvah waters every day in a normal mikvah. And they scrub the mikvah, if not every day, every other day. They scrub it really, really hard, cleaning it, working really hard to clean. And and even so, they have to do a whole paint job and everything. Every 2-3 months, you see the walls are already covered with mold. In their days, they didn't have that. So the bathhouses were a filthy, stinky place. So their streets, when they're talking about a filthy place, they're talking about sewage, they're talking about there are feces there. You're talking about a filthy place. The sewage by them was serious filth. Their roads were seriously filthy up to 150 years ago. You had on the sides of the street, you had people's feces flowing down on the sewage. And the Chayyadam says, don't say Kiddush Lamana outside, because there's bound to be some stool somewhere around you. That's what their streets looked like. So Rav Yochanan said, you're allowed to think Torah anywhere but a bathroom and a bathhouse. You'll tell me maybe here again, there's a difference if you're standing there, if you're passing through. I was walking behind Rav Yochanan, he was reading Shema. When we came to the filthy passages, he became silent. And then Rabbi Avu asked him, now that we passed the filthy places, where should I start again? If you paused enough time to complete all of Shema, start again. What Rabbi Yochanan was telling him was as follows. The Gemara wants to say, Rabbi Yochanan meant to say, I don't even hold yet to stop, because we just said, Rabbi Yochanan said, you could walk through the filthy places, put your hand on your mouth and read Shema. So how come here he's saying you had to stop and this is where you should start again? The Gemara is saying no. He was answering him based on his question. Really, Rav Yochanan holds you didn't even have to stop. But you hold you had to stop. According to you who held you had to stop. So then the rule is it depends if you pause long enough to finish all of it. So the Gemara is sticking to its guns, and the Gemara claims that Rav Yochanan really held that if you're in a filthy place, if you put your hand on your mouth, you may read Shema. And when he expressed himself differently, he was just answering in accordance with Rabbi Avu's question. But he himself still held you could do that. So that's what the Gemara is assuming now, even though that's not the halacha. And we'll pick up here tomorrow.